then you can hear us. Can you perhaps do it for me? Great. The little angels in the background have done it for me. So now, finally, that everything is ready. Hi, James. How are you doing?
Good morning. Hello.
Well, thank you for your talk. And sorry for the little hiccup at the middle. We had to pull out a fire with the audio going out in the middle. And sorry about this.
It's no trouble.
So, James, you've obviously told us about your very fancy setup with the green screen. And I'm sad to see that you haven't put out the green screen for your BBB session right now. Do you have it in the background just for you? Right, okay. It wasn't that far. Great.
Nope.
So I'm just going to ask, so this is the first live Q&A that we have for the session, so things might be coming into place. So pardon us if we take a little bit of time to put the questions on the screen and all of this. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to load up the pad. I would invite James to also open the pad on his hand. Sorry, I've got people talking in my ears, and it's been a while since I've last had this. And okay, so opening the talks right now, opening the pad, if I can find it. Open at the pad. Okay. So have you got the pad open on your end, James? So that I can read the question. So, okay, great. Opening it on my end as well. What I'm going to do, folks, I see some of you have joined us on, if I show you, some of the people have joined us in the BBB room. You can join us as well. All the links are on the talk page or on ISE. You can find it very easily. What I'm going to start doing is first taking questions in the other pad because it's a little faster to ask questions like this. And then, as soon as we've finished, feel free to unmute yourself and ask your questions. All right. So I've got some reactions about OBS being cool, and yes, both James and I will be able to tell you that it's very cool. We do very fancy stuff, like when I need to talk to production in the background, and all the stuff, obviously, that James has been able to show you with a green screen. So I don't see a whole lot of questions so far. I see a lot of reactions on publishing lectures book. Kind of a classic example is John Kitchens, obviously. Pedagogy First Developments. Macros are a cool idea. I use cross transition. Okay, questions. So, how do you overlap yourself with a presentation? It's so cool.
It's quite simple. OBS provides filters for every, you can have a separate filter for each video feed. And one of the filters that's available is chroma key. You just choose a color to make transparent and just make sure that the webcam is at the top of the composition. And the thing that surprised me the most was how quickly my brain was able to mirror everything and control my body from a separate point of view, like the way weather broadcasts are done. It took seconds to be able to do that. Well, and now I have years of practice because that setup that you saw that I used to record this video, I used for years during the pandemic for 4 or 5 semesters to, because my courses are all have 200, 300, 400 students, except for the English class, which has, you know, 30 students. And so during the pandemic, and even after lockdowns were no longer mandated, I taught online just because I didn't want to have so many students in the room at the same time. So I have a lot of practice doing that.
But it pays off because it looks so natural. You know, it feels like it's the same thing with weathercasters. You know, it sounds very, it looks very easy to do, but it also takes quite a bit of practice. One of the things that you also need to remember if you're using a chroma key that James has explained is that you need to have very good lighting, basically for the color to pop out in the background and for your body to be easily highlightable. Okay, were you finished with this question?
Yeah, let's take another one.
Sure. So how do you deal with video in Beam? I found it so hard to do that. PPT on the other end is easier to achieve.
Yeah, so remember that the slides get produced from Org Mode as PDFs. Well, and in fact, even before, when I was using other software to produce slides, I produced them as PDFs precisely because I wanted to be able to mark them up on on the screen with the stylus. And so I don't do video in the slides. I use OBS to switch from static slides that I mark up with the stylus over to some kind of video viewer, and then back. And again, that's how I can use Firefox. I use OBS to switch between Firefox and video and the Shornal ++ program where I can mark up slides. So those functionalities are that's why I use different software and pull it all together with OBS so that I can have lots of functional flexibility.
Great. Do you ever use things like Org Present and Stay Forger PowerPoint Slides? I'm not sure exactly how to read this particular question, but at least we can focus on Org Present. Are you familiar with what it is?
I have. I've played around with Org Present, and again, I guess you could use Org Present to show images and to show headings as slides. But again, because it's such a crucial functionality to be able to mark them up with a stylus. I didn't really show this very much, but I also highlight things the way I would highlight using a laser pointer on the screen. And again, I don't see Emacs being able to do that for another couple of generations. So really the only thing I use Emacs for during presentations is to narrow headings so that we can focus on particular text excerpts.
Right, yeah. A lot of our presentation at EmacsConf are usually, especially the org mode ones, are done with Org Present. And sorry, I had someone talk to me in the ear. You know, the problem with EmacsConf is that every year, you know, you have to relearn a lot of skills. And by the time we finished by Sunday evening, we are masters of it. And then we forget everything by the time the next year comes around. What I was going to say is that Org Present is often used by people inside Emacs Conf presenting about org mode. But yeah, whenever you need to do something a little more visual, it gets a little more complicated. Some people have tried to do fancy stuff with SVG, which is probably the path forward for this type of stuff. But yeah, if you need to draw, if you need to highlight, it is pretty complicated. Perhaps something that you might want to be interested, James, in checking out is PDF tools, which is a way to open up a PDF in Emacs. And this allows you to have basic PDF annotations, like putting a little bit of an icon on it. Perhaps you've already played with it.
I have used that. PDF tools is an incredible package, but until it allows me to make a mark on the screen that shows up in a video compositor, it's not going to replace Shornal.
Definitely. All right, moving on to the next question. Is the triple accolade syntax an org mode core feature that I missed so far, or did you program that? And thank you for the great talk.
Thank you very much. No, it's just part of all of the export backends. Actually, I think the way it works is it precedes all of the export backends. When you export, the first thing that happens is expansion of macros, and that's a built-in org mode feature. It's definitely beyond my Emacs Lisp powers to be able to have made something that powerful.
For now.
That's right. I have come a long way.
You know, we always, you know, most of the people who show up to EmacsConf, especially talking about stuff that has to do with presentations or what they do in academia, you know, they always say, oh, but, you know, I couldn't have done all this, you know, it's just far away. And then they come back 1 year or 2 years later and then, oh, I've made my entire library for presentation and stuff like this. So be hopeful about what the future holds for you in terms of coming up with crazy new features for the entire ecosystem.
Well, let me tell you, since the pandemic, I wrote my first major mode. It's trivial, but it provides functionality that is very useful to me. And it's It's going to sound like I'm just trying to butter everyone up, but seeing a lot of the names in the IRC channel, people who have taught me so much on their YouTube channels and in their blog posts and on Reddit and on Mastodon, without many of the people who are here today watching my talk, it's very fun to have people who have helped me learn so much about Emacs. So thanks to all of you.
Well, and yeah, and now you're becoming part of this crew of people inspiring others to do the very much the same. So thank you for joining the crew.
Thank you very much.
Great. Moving on to the two last questions, and then we'll open up the mic to other people on Big Blue Button. What kind of comparative feedback are students giving you regarding your approach?
Oh my gosh. Students were ready to, during the pandemic especially, when most of the courses were just being taught over Zoom by people sharing their screens.
Give me just a second. Sorry for the interruption. Very rude interruption, but I've got the intro for the next talk playing, and I'm not sure what's going on. Give me just a second. Okay. Sasha. Okay. So, yeah, I think it's started. I got the times wrong apparently because of the little delay we had getting the audio fixed up. The good news is that we're still recording the talk right now and we still have James around. Obviously, James, you're no longer on being broadcast on general, but if you want to keep answering questions or if you want to, anyone in the room right now wants to ask you questions, feel free to do so. I'm going to need to hop off because I need to get other things ready for the next talks, sadly. But
it's no trouble. Thank you so much.
Great. And so, sorry, I'm a little tense, obviously, because I was not expecting this to happen. And that led to a very abrupt end to this discussion. But people afterwards on emacs.org/2023/talks will be able to find all the content here. So I'll have to leave now. Thank you so much, James, for doing the difficult task of opening up EmacsConf, and I'll probably see you later.
Thank you, Leo.
Bye-bye.
On your, the X journal, the journal program,
yes.
Were you using the tablet as a monitor, right? Touchscreen monitor with that?
That's exactly right. So it's a tablet, so you know, it has a touchscreen. And so basically the functionality that program provides is to be able to just mark up PDFs with a stylus you know, in the way that you would use any other tablet. And to be able to take that video signal and put it into another machine, that was the key. That's the killer app.
I've thought about grabbing one for the purpose of like changing my laptop into a tablet to read manga, browse the web, and kind of curious if it works well like as a wireless monitor with a tablet. Or how well it, like, so, you can use Emacs with it in a tablet mode, or were you just using the
tablet that I use is this is it. It's just a Microsoft Surface, and so it comes with a keyboard. So you can take the keyboard off. But I use it with the keyboard as well. And I just.
You're cutting off right now. Audio. Your audio is cutting off right now.
How about now?
Now I can hear you.
Yeah, I bumped the mute button on the mic. Yeah, so again, this is...
Which of the 16 mute buttons you used?
It's just the Surface Pro 3 that I got used, and it runs Emacs. It runs GNU Linux really well. And the trouble is that the hard drive, you know, the SSD drive is small and the RAM is small, but it works for the purposes. Basically, if I had a couple thousand dollars, I could probably buy a touchscreen machine where I could run everything on it and do the streaming and do the video capture and do the the PDF markup. But mm-hmm. since both of these are so, the hardware that I use is so old and cheap and weak, I have to split it across two machines.
There's also a beauty in making the stuff, having specific purposes for specific things, where it's just not, it's like, I don't want a smart TV that plays Netflix. I want a smart TV that has all the smart stuff. I turn my smart TV into a TV monitor. I don't want to.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, no, I totally feel that ethic.
Oh, some other things, like if you want you to do highlighting in an org mode document, you can use org web tools. I wrote this in the notes, but you can use org web tools to download a web page. And then mm-hmm. you can use org remark to start highlighting in the org mode web page. And then because it's an org mode document now, you can just edit it directly.
Right.
If you want other people to join in on an Emacs session, you could use a package like, what's it called? crdt.el that will allow two people with two different Emacs configurations to edit the same buffer.
What?
And you have a host that can host a buffer too. It works
interesting.
And they have one optional extension for org mode that will synchronize the folding of the org drawers.
Interesting. I will look into that.
If you want students, like you have H highlight line mode. These are just some ideas. It's like you can have like highlight line mode so people can easily see which line you're on, cursor tracking. And then you could have other people join in, students or, yeah. That's just a possible idea.
Is there anyone else in the big blue button room who has a question? All right, I'm going to go over to the pad and see if there are any pending questions I can address. Thanks, Plasma Strike.
Yep.
Gonna be tangled into source code or woven into a documentation file, which could be PDF, could be Markdown, could be OpenOffice, could be a notebook format. This methodology was conceived by Donald Knuth in 1984, and it's therefore older than the main purpose of literal programming is not only to make code or documentation or output more manageable, but to allow humans to create a data store from a single source. What you see on the slide on the left-hand side is the story and code inside a org mode file. The file starts with some documentation, then on the right background is the code, and at the bottom you see an output file, which is not shown here in the slide itself. In the middle you have the source code, which is result of tangling or of opening buffer inside auth mode. On the very right hand side, we have a PDF, actually, this HTML render of the very same file that you see on the very left. So the humans look at some of this code, and the machines will look at other parts of the code. I actually did all my programming in literate way, even in the early 1990s, not using auth mode, which didn't exist yet, but using Norman Ramsey's NoMap preprocessor. I still use it inside auth mode today. This preprocessor, NoMap, allows you to tangle code from within an auth mode file as a self-standing file, much like auth mode's edit functions, which export code blocks into buffers in whatever language the code blocks are. In data science, these interactive notebooks, in one of the interpreted languages like Julia, Python, or R, dominate. The basis technology is that of Jupyter notebooks, which take their name from Julia, Python, and R. And these notebooks use a spruced up shell, for example, IPython from Python, with an option to add SQL cells. Auth mode inside Emacs has a large number of advantages. Some of them are listed here over these notebooks. Two of these stand out particularly. Different languages can be mixed, as shown in the image, while in Jupyter notebooks, a notebook is limited to running a kernel in one language only. The content of the notebook, its document, code, or output part can be exported in a variety of
currently
formats.
The only person in this conference
to share with others and to use one's work in different reports.